it's that maturity and we don't keep it on us anymore.
7654321.
Welcome to Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It is Monday. It is, what day is it? October 11th, 2021. That'll give everybody in the office a good laugh. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd here with you on this Monday afternoon. Brandon Ladd, for, you know, normally when I ask you how you are, I normally know how you are because I see you for the entire weekend. But this weekend, I did not see you. You were off. You were at Queensbury. How are you? And how was your weekend?
I had a good weekend, doing well. Brought you back cider donuts and chili. So
Wait. You got the cider donuts from the silo?
Yes, and chili for you.
Oh, and the white chili.
Yeah, well, red chili.
Red chili this time.
Yes.
Wow.
So you...
Miss Ladder hooked it
up. You somehow won the weekend.
Yeah, I somehow won that this entire weekend, and I didn't even really do anything. Well, I was at Syracuse Wake Forest.
How was that?
It was, if I'm being honest, it was one of the most incredible days of my entire life. Yeah. It was such a great experience. I'm really excited to be going back on Friday for CNY Central to watch Syracuse take on Clemson. It was an awesome experience. I can't wait to do it again. Yeah. It was the game of the year. I really wish they had pulled it out. I really thought they were going to. Before we, you know, move on here, all I got to say is this Sean Tucker kid, lad, he's going to the NFL.
Well, yeah.
And he's going to be something really special.
He is something special, and the big debate over if he'll get number 44 or not, it seems like a done deal.
He's arguably, I don't know if I can say this because I don't know the ACC well enough, he's arguably the best running back in the ACC.
No, he is the best running back in the ACC.
He's that good.
Yeah.
He's that good. But... joining us today on the show is going to be Kyle Spisak. Kyle, getting in some shadowing hours today. Kyle, how are we feeling on this Monday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I feel all right. I feel good. It's a long week. It's going to be a long week here at Oswego State. Men's hockey starts up this Saturday against Utica, their first exhibition game of the year. Women's hockey starts up next week. We've got a doubleheader on a Tuesday, which is always painful, as Brandon Ladd knows. that's going to be, you know, it's going to be quite the week, but we're really excited to get started. Hockey coverage Saturday begins at 6 p.m. with Countdown to Faceoff. It's going to be super exciting. And then a puck drop is at 7. It'll be the first time hockey is played in the, well, it'll be the first time ever hockey is played in the Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena. And it'll be the first time that hockey is played on Oswego State campus since February of 2020, right? Because they didn't get the, it wasn't on campus.
It was
campus.
A March game.
It wasn't.
Because the ice unfroze.
I can't remember either. Because I think the Geneseo game was definitely in March. The Geneseo game was definitely in March. I think that Plattsburgh game, though, I think it was literally on February 28th. Go back.
As I have
why
November.
Did you look up? Why? All right, here's what
March
you're going to do.
March 3rd. I found it. Last matchup, March 3rd.
March 3rd. All right, so yeah, it was March. I'm like, I can't believe you just typed that in on Google and it came up. What is that website? Oh, it's literally the Plattsburgh website. Yeah, yeah. So last time, yeah, it was, okay. Yeah, it was on.
It was a leap year, so I think it was planned for February 29th.
Oh, maybe you're right.
I finally got
because I think what happened was it was planned for February and then the ice melted.
Did I tell you I always thought there was 29 days in February and that a leap year meant there was 28? So I had that backwards for 21 years of my life.
You didn't know that. Wait, you didn't know that until like...
like until Abby told me like 4 days ago.
Kyle, did you just hear this, man?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Lad.
That
lad.
Yeah, I...
So last year, when there was no February 29th, were you a little freaked out? Or
yeah, I guess I was a bit alarmed till we got to March 1st. I guess I was laying in bed and went, wow, I missed February 29th.
I missed the whole day. That is That is quite something. All right, let's get into what happened over the weekend. There is a lot. The first thing is, we'll go in order of the games of appearance. The Jets played a game across the pond and lost to the Falcons. They didn't look like a football team in the first half, Brandon, and that's why they lost this one.
It is. They just too big of a hole. By the time everybody woke up, they said, okay, the Jets are going to jet today. And Kyle Pitts had a big game for Atlanta. Cordell Patterson continues to have a resurgence at a new position for Atlanta.
And save Jake Johnson's fantasy team by the second.
Yes, somehow, some way. But they had a good. The Jets had a good second half. It's just one of those things where they've had six good quarters the past eight quarters, but that doesn't always result in two wins.
Yeah, Kyle, that's a game against the Falcons. I think you got to win, especially coming off the game against Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Zach Wilson, in general, this whole season, he's been very off and on. A lot of his plays, he doesn't look comfortable in the pocket almost. And a lot of these plays, when he's throwing them, like, there's better choices he could make with the ball, but he's going with the choice he thinks is the easiest, but it usually ends up not how he wants, and their receivers aren't exactly the greatest either.
Yeah, it's been bad decision-making, it's been bad play calling, and that's what it was again in the first half of that Jets game. They started to make us come back in the second half, but in the end, it was too much. The Jets, they dropped to 1-4 heading into their bye week, and they will. I think they're flying home today. I can't be too sure about that, but they're going into a bye week next week, 1-4. The Giants, quite literally and figuratively, get beat up in Jerry's world in Dallas. They lose by a final score of, what, 34-13 was the final in this one? Jake was so mad.
44-20.
44-20. Jake kind of turned it off
yes.
at the end because it wasn't a good time for anybody involved.
Well, Mike Glennon had a good game.
Mike Glennon didn't look bad. He didn't look bad. Daniel Jones didn't look good after getting concussed. Saquon Barkley's leg, they kept showing it, dude.
Yeah.
How did you see this? Like, on Fox, they kept showing the replay of the injury of Barkley over and over again.
Yeah, it was just... There was a lot of things about this game that were questionable. We missed a whole touchdown because
yes.
the NFL forgot we were in commercial break.
Yeah, the ref didn't realize we were in commercial break and let them play, and they missed the touchdown on air.
Yeah, and we got a nice replay of that, but...
this is a funny story. We had switched to Red Zone.
Yeah.
And Red Zone said to us, the Giants just scored. And Kevin goes, Jake, what the heck? Like, you don't know what you're doing. You need to give me the remote. And when we turned back to the Giants game, Joe Buck was like, sorry, we missed a touchdown.
Yes. Joe Buck was so mad.
Giants, they're going to take an L. What are they, 1-4 as well, right?
They are 1-4. So Jones is 2 to 3 weeks with the concussion, most likely. Maybe next week. It looked pretty bad.
It looked bad.
Saquon, 2 to 3 weeks with the low ankle sprain. He's lucky he can return this season.
That's official? Like,
It was a low ankle sprain and not a high ankle sprain, which is a miracle. And then and x-rays came back negative, and Kenny Golladay will be back on Wednesday for practice. So it didn't turn out as bad as it could have been for the Giants.
The season could have easily been over.
Oh,
yeah, it could have easily been over. And finally, biggest game of the day. The Bills, they beat Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, Kyle. And this is a statement win for the Bills. It's a statement win for the NFL in general. What a game last night from Josh Allen and company.
Yeah, Josh Allen had an amazing game. He was able to find his receivers downfield very easily. The Chiefs secondary really could not guard well. They had way too many open spots downfield. Allen was able to exploit that. And their rush defense was good, the Chiefs. Josh Allen was their leading rusher on the team. But even, especially in the red zone, Allen just ripped right through their D like it was nothing.
Yeah, and this is one of the worst games Mahomes has ever played.
Mahomes, sees.
Well, they have a new strategy against them. You just put two safeties deep 20 yards down the field, and you take away the deep throw. You get physical with Travis Kelce up front.
He's got to make some adjustments going forward.
The whole offense needs to completely retool itself because people have figured out how to stop him. But
because people are realizing the only good receiver on the field is Tyreek Hill.
Yes,
the
other ones especially now that Sammy Watkins isn't there anymore.
The other ones are just fast.
They are just fast. And how do you stop fast receivers? You get deep on them and don't let them run by you. But this happened to Brady and Belichick several times over the years when Josh McDaniels was offensive coordinator. They just kept retooling themselves. So I have faith that Andy Reid and Mahomes will retool themselves.
Yeah, can Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes prove that they really are the best coach-quarterback duo in the history of the NFL. Definitely the most talented.
Yeah.
Not the best, though. Brady Belichick is going to be holding that one for a couple more years at least. All right, we do have some MLB playoff updates for you. Braves, Brewers, that series is tied at 1-1. They're currently playing right now, actually. And to my disliking, the Braves, they're currently up 3-0 into the top of the sixth inning. At the moment, so the Braves could take a 2-1 lead and possibly, yes, clinch tomorrow if they do, in fact, hold on to this lead. Red Sox, what a game that was last night. Christian Vasquez, a big walk-off homer in the bottom of the 13th inning, I believe. There was a weird ground rule double that I have to look at the John Boy breakdown of because I didn't get a chance to really see
because
the game was
the
on
rule.
MLB Network. Yes, the game was on MLB Network, and I was at Jake's house, so I couldn't exactly watch the game. I was just kind of following it on my phone. Giants-Dodgers, that series tied up at 1-1. They're back in action tonight at 9:37 p.m. over on TBS. And then Astros, they lead the White Sox 2-1. What a game that was last night. It's the south side of Chicago. Are you freaking kidding me? What an atmosphere it was. Is it still U.S. Cellular Field?
I don't think it is, but we'll call it that.
I think they changed the name a couple years ago, but that's what I remember it as. That's so sad.
That's what we'll go with.
Yeah, we'll look that up after the break. But U.S. Cellular Field was rocking last night. Did you see the dude with the cane?
Yes, I did.
It's just an unbelievable atmosphere. That game actually rained out, though. It'll be game four will be tomorrow.
First time in forever. I can't think of the last rainout in October.
Yeah, I'm trying. I can't really remember.
I guess it helps when all baseball goes through Texas, L.A., and New York the past decade.
Well, yeah, that's what it seems like, right? Yeah. So that game rained out. They're going to play tomorrow. Astros looking to get a series. That series isn't over. The atmosphere last night was so unbelievable that I think the White Sox can make a comeback in this series. And like I said, Brewers Braves going on right now. 3-0 Braves as we head to the bottom now of the sixth inning. Braves looking to move on to the NLCS. Well, not today, but they could move on to the NLCS tomorrow if they win today and tomorrow. All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. Josh Allen and the Bills, they're for real, folks. They just beat Patrick Mahomes and company on Sunday Night Football, and Patrick Mahomes already has 3 losses on the year. We're going to take a look at that and all the other New York football going on. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Kyle Spisak, Brandon Ladd here with you on Monday, October 11th. 70 degrees outside today, and if I'm being honest, I wish, I love still wearing shorts in the middle of October, and not denying that, but I don't like when it's going to be 70 degrees this week, and next week it'll be 40, and my body will, just got over being sick, and I'll be sick again.
Yeah, it's devastating what this weather does to the body.
I hate the fall.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people say this is the best season of all time. It's the worst.
Because aesthetically, people think it's the best.
But it's
it kind of is. I was driving across New York today, and for 3 hours and 15 minutes, I'm like, ooh, look at the leaves. Look at this. Look at the pumpkin.
I just totally disagree. It's just so bad.
Look at it all.
Weather is so bad. GPAs go down. Depression goes up. I mean, it's just horrible. It's a horrible season, and I get sick every time, and I hate it. Yeah. I hate this season.
Well, as the person that's just coming off antibiotics, I can totally agree with you there.
No, I can't. I cannot take the fall. You know what I also can't take? The fact that Josh Allen and the Bills beat Patrick Mahomes and company on Sunday Night Football last night in a big statement win. What was the final score of this one? I don't even remember. Yesterday was such a long day. The football day started at 9:30 in the morning and ended at 1 a.m. because there was a delay. 38-20 was the final score in this one. And Kyle, the Bills just, they turned it on. And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are still looking for answers.
Yeah, I think what really changed the tide of the game was what Kansas City's defense likes to do is they hold a lot. They're very physical. They hold a lot more on the receivers. So the Bills realized this, and then they started playing Kansas City's own game against them, and then you have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill who weren't able to get open for Mahomes. He had to scramble a lot more, go out of the pocket. He didn't have the ability to make the downfield plays he was looking for, and he just did not look good at all whatsoever. And he had 2 picks.
Yeah, and I think the biggest takeaway from this game is home field advantage in the AFC now runs through Buffalo. There's no way the Chiefs can get back from this. They're two games back, and they have the tiebreaker not in their favor. So that means the Chiefs are currently three games behind the Bills. It really comes down to Baltimore should win tonight. It really comes down to Buffalo and Baltimore. And at this moment, the Bills are a better team.
Yeah. I mean, oh, God, it's so painful to say that. But, yes, you're 100% right about that. The home field advantage definitely does run through Buffalo. Chargers actually, get this, Chargers are actually the one seed right now if we're looking at the playoff picture. The reason that is because wins tiebreaker over Buffalo because best winning percentage in conference games because the Bills lost the Steelers.
Yep.
And the Chargers, who did they lose to? Not the Chiefs.
Chargers lost to the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
What a costly loss for the Chargers.
Just unbelievable. So, yeah, in Kansas City right now, they are – where are they? They're 11th right now.
Last place in the division.
Yeah, here is where Kansas City is sitting about. Ready for this? The Colts, who are 1-3. Miami, who's 1-4. The Jets, who are 1-4. The Texans, who are 1-4. And the Jaguars, who are 0-5. That is the company that Patrick Mahomes is sitting with right now.
They're going to skyrocket up soon, though. It's impossible for them to stay down for this long.
Yeah, before we get back to the Bills, I do want to touch on the Chiefs just because it's pretty fascinating here. Now, they got Washington, Tennessee, Giants, Packers, Raiders over the next couple weeks, Kyle. Do we think Patrick Mahomes can make the adjustments to really kickstart this Chiefs offense and the Chiefs team in general?
Oh, I mean, this is the point in time where this is the biggest test Patrick Mahomes has had in his career so far. This is the test that is going to show whether he is the true leader that they want to develop him into. Because what? They're 2-3, and they have to turn that around, especially if they want the playoff picture, which is Kansas City's goal every year. So they have to come out strong. They have to beat the next 3-4 teams in a row so they can make that statement back in the NFL, let everyone know they're back, and not seen as a joke of a team right now.
And they need to change their mindset completely. Go into the bye week here, and no, they're not. I'm off. I thought it was October 3rd. I am off by a week.
Yeah, everybody's off by a week,
yes,
it seems like.
So they got to get right back into it against Washington next Sunday at 1. They need to change their mindset because teams are daring them to run right now. I think you just got to take what teams are giving you and try to control possession a bit more.
And now Hilaire is going to be out for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, so it doesn't help.
According to Adam Schefter. So, no, that does not help. The Kansas City Chiefs got to figure it out, 2-3, to start the season. You have to think they'll be able to figure it out, but right now this is scary hours for Andy Reid and company over there. Meanwhile, up in Buffalo, I mean, they must have taken that Steelers loss to serious heart to start the season because since then, they've beat the Dolphins 35-0. They beat the football team 43-21. They stomped the Texans 40-0, and they dropped 38 on the Chiefs, Brandon. The Bills just look like they're in a whole different mindset right now. And Josh Allen, he looked the best he had looked all season last night, 315 yards, 3 touchdowns.
And they're on the road to 9-1. The Steelers game, I love this analogy people are using. We remember we only had 3 preseason games this year. No starters played at all. Teams in week one, that was kind of like the 4th preseason game. That's what your body's telling you. This is a whole new experience with 17 games. So maybe that's what happened to the Bills. And maybe the Steelers just got lucky that day because ever since, as you said, they took it personally. They were out there on a mission. They want to embarrass teams. But I say this, they're on the road to 9-1 because if they get over Tennessee, which Tennessee has had their problems, any team that loses to
Tennessee lost to the Jets. Yeah, exactly
you have flaws. So if they get through the Titans, it goes Dolphins, Jags, Jets, Colts. The Bills are easily on their way to 9-1.
God, what have you seen about the Bills since that Steelers game that has just been so different? It's like a complete reversal from week one.
Defense. Secondary's playing a lot more aggressive, running more man coverages than they are zone. And Josh Allen's on his game. I've noticed they haven't been hitting Stephon Diggs as much as we would expect going into the season. They've been utilizing their tight end a lot more, and I think that's a play call that teams aren't expecting because they're going to expect more throws to Diggs, and he's just not getting them.
Yeah, last year that was the offense, right? It was throw to Stephon Diggs and get the hell out of the way. Yeah, I completely agree with that, actually. Josh Allen's learning how to use, you know, more of his weapons. I think the offense is getting a little bit more diverse. Dawson Knox has been great the last 2 weeks. Destroyed me in fantasy last night, the reason that I lost. Yeah, he's been fantastic. And the Bills, like, I know people were a little bit worried about Josh Allen through the first three or four games, but last night he just looked fantastic, and the Bills are winning. They're winning by a lot, too. They're destroying everybody in their path.
Yeah, and it's even good teams. You could say the past 3 weeks, maybe it was a fluke because the teams weren't that great. We didn't know what it was all about. Now suddenly you do it against the best team in the NFL. That's when you start to realize
this team is real. I don't even know if we can consider them the best team in the NFL, right?
Well, yeah, I guess we'll see how... I don't know if Baltimore comes up on their schedule, but...
I mean, we'll see what... who's Baltimore? Oh, the Colts, they're going to win. That's not going to tell us anything. I mean, best team record-wise right now in the NFL is the Cardinals.
We know that's not true.
I don't know. Kyler Murray looks different this year.
That's a veteran defense. They did a good job in the offseason.
Yeah, and J.J. Watt coming in. I mean, I know he's not what he used to be, but he's still a presence that can be felt and is a great leader. Cardinals are 5-0, and guess what? Who's second in the NFC? It's none other than the Dallas Cowboys, Brandon. None other than the Dallas Cowboys.
A lot has to play out here.
A lot has to play out. We're only a couple weeks in. A lot of teams do look really good. All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. Giants got beat up, literally and figuratively. They dropped 1-4 on the season. Moving forward, what's the plan with them? Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. I'm Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Kyle Spisak joining us today. Am I saying that right? Spisak?
Yes, sir.
Yep, Spisak right. Or Spisak?
Spisak.
Spisak. Yeah, that's what I thought. Spisak joining us today on the show. It is a Monday. Hockey starts this week right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Saturday against Utica. Oh, boy, is that quite the exhibition game, Brandon.
Yes, it is.
To start off the year, the Lakers will open their actual season on October 29th against Hobart. Boy, that is quite the opening game. Hobart knocking them out in 2019 in the NCAA tournament in the first round right here in the once then Murano Campus Center Ice Arena, now the Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena. Also got some sports tomorrow. Women's soccer at 3 o'clock. If I'm being honest, I don't know who they play, which is why I'm going to be looking that up right now. Women's soccer trying to get into the Suniac playoffs. I don't know if currently 5-5 and a big conference, non-conference game tomorrow against Hamilton College. So,
Hamilton's really good at men's soccer, so I'm guessing they're good at women's soccer.
Yeah, I think Hamilton is really good at women's soccer as well. And then field hockey over at 6 o'clock over on Stream 2. Why can I not find the field hockey schedule? Why can I not find the field hockey schedule? Here it is, field hockey schedule. Next game for them is against Nazareth. So two out-of-conference games tomorrow on a Tuesday. I don't know why they keep throwing these out-of-conference games on Tuesdays, but, I digress. But two games over on Stream 2 tomorrow, and then Oswego Volleyball on Friday at 6 o'clock. That one is going to be a conference game against Oneonta at 6 at Maxfield Gymnasium. And then a triple header on Saturday. Oswego men's soccer taking on Cortland. Oswego Volleyball taking on New Paltz, both those games at 1 o'clock. And then at 7, it's the first preseason game of the Oswego men's hockey season against Utica. So a big week over here at WNYL Sports. Make sure you have it tuned to us all the time, 24-7, 365. Let's get into the Giants. Got beat up, literally and figuratively. Final score of yesterday's game, 44-20. Daniel Jones is out with a concussion. Saquon Barkley is out with a low ankle sprain. Kenny Golladay was also out. Nobody's really talking about that. He's the reason. Actually, that's not true. He's not the reason I lost fantasy yesterday. But, Kenny Galladay's out. Do we know how long he's going to be out for?
He should be back by Wednesday. It was just a fluke thing.
All right, so just an injury that kept him out for the rest of the game. So he'll be back. Yeah. So Glennon's got a little bit to work with. My biggest takeaway from this game, you know, we've heard a lot of complaining. Kadarius Toney, they wasted the 20th overall pick on him. They're not even using him. Like, at least if you're going to waste a draft pick on a receiver that we didn't need, the least you could do is use him. And if I'm being honest, he looked like the best player on that football team yesterday.
He honestly did. He was shifty. You can't tackle him one-on-one in the open field, and he's a threat underneath. It's going to make life easy for Jones when he comes back because you can throw it underneath, and Tony's going to get yards after catch. So it's another weapon for him. I think they were, with no Slayton recently, I think they've been waiting for somebody like Tony to step up. And as I said to Jake, it's like Jason Garrett was at practice on a Monday and went, is he on our team? Yeah, is 87 or 89 on our team? So, I don't know.
Kadarius Toney, 10 receptions, 189 yards for Kadarius Toney. And that's with Mike Glennon in the game for the majority of it. Mike Glennon, 16 for 25, 196 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. That's pretty incredible that he was able to do all that in such a short amount of time. But, Kyle, I mean... at what point do you say with the Giants, you know, how many injuries are you going to have to overcome this season to start winning some football games, especially with their gauntlet of a schedule?
That's been their biggest problem for the last few years, in my opinion. They need an O-line. That's what they need. They, like the draft, you were just talking, they focused on a wide receiver. I do not know why the Giants do not focus on an offensive line. That's what they need. Saquon Barkley's been hurt, what, 4 or 5 times now since he's been drafted? When you have potentially one of the greatest running backs in the league right now, and he's not even playing half a season every year because he's getting injured, that's an issue. And Daniel Jones, personally, I've never been a fan of Daniel Jones. I think he was a waste of a draft pick. But still, even him, you need a line to protect your quarterback. If he wants to be your if you want him to be your franchise quarterback, you need to build protection around him.
No, it's a fair point. And especially when left tackle Andrew Thomas was out yesterday. It's a fair point where when they don't have some of their guys in on the offensive line to begin with and they have injuries, they just seem to struggle big time. Nate Solder had his hands full with Randy Gregory yesterday, and he's one of their better linemen. So it's an honest thing, and I don't think it's given us a true read of who Daniel Jones is, even though Daniel Jones has shown some resilience and is showing why he probably is the franchise quarterback for these guys. But still, how many times can you win 6 games and be satisfied?
And this is a big year for Daniel Jones. Oh my God, why am I forgetting his name? Dave Gettleman is going to have to make a decision on whether or not, you know, Daniel Jones is the franchise quarterback, and he's not going to be able to do that with Daniel Jones being sidelined for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So that's definitely got to play into the decision this upcoming offseason. So now, for the next 2 or 3 games, it's going to be Mike Glennon going up against Matt Stafford and the Rams, who look really good and look like they could be a Super Bowl contender. Sam Darnold and the Panthers, who look like they're a playoff team. And then the Chiefs, who, again, while they're 2 and 3, Patrick Mahomes is still on the team. This is a gauntlet of a schedule, Brandon, and it does not look good right now for the New York Giants.
It absolutely does not, and now teams are going to have a chance to game plan against Glennon. I think what happened to the Cowboys where Glennon was being successful was he was just targeting Tony, and the Cowboys had a game plan coming in for Barkley and Jones, and it was just a different quarterback in there, so he had some success. But the Rams, Panthers, and Chiefs, they're going to come ready for that. So I think, as I said, the Bills are on the road to 9-1. It looks like the Giants are on the road to 1-7.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see a win until they're not going to beat the Rams. No, not the Panthers, not the Chiefs. I don't think they could beat the Raiders.
Who knows?
Who knows with them? It seems like the Raiders, like, it's like, wow, the Raiders look awesome. Like, they're going to be so good. And then some weeks, it's just like, wow, the Raiders are the Raiders.
Wow, there. Justin Fields is moving the ball against them. It was one of those yesterday.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was a Justin Fields classic yesterday, yes. Moving the ball against the Raiders. Then Bucks and the Eagles, who they play on November 28th. That is a far-off game, Kyle. And, yeah, if you're a Giants fan, you got to be worried right now.
Oh, yeah, especially going into next week when you're missing Barkley and Jones, and then you have to go up against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, the number one ranked defense in that NFL. That's a recipe for disaster. It is not going to go well for the Giants next week.
Yeah, it's trouble, and the Rams are for real. So
it's
going to continue for the Giants. Maybe their season is over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to say their season's over because, again, you know, they're only 1-4, but at the same time, how many injuries can you overcome? Actually, what does this injuries button do on the ESPN website? Here we go. Ready? Here's their injury report. Jabril Peppers out. Sterling Shepard's out. Darius Slayton out. Ben Breedson out. Kadarius Toney was questionable. Kenny Galladay is questionable. Saquon Barkley is listed as doubtful. Daniel Jones is going to be out with an injury. That was their report today, actually.
And no Blake Martinez because of the torn ACL.
Yes, and Blake Martinez has a torn ACL.
So they lost the whole pride and joy of that defense.
It's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating as a New York Giants fan, for sure. So the Giants, it's really not looking good for them. I mean, can Mike Glennon put something together? Either of you? Kyle? Brandon?
No.
I don't. Not against the Rams.
Should they have like kept Davis Webb? Do you think, because he beat the Seahawks, remember that?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's just a bad situation right now.
Davis Webb beating the Seahawks, remember that?
That was something.
That was something.
Colt McCoy came in, had some success. It was a good time.
Yeah. Was it Colt McCoy or was it Davis Webb that beat the Seahawks?
It was Colt McCoy.
It was Colt McCoy. I get the two confused because they're like the exact same thing.
Davis Webb in like the Canadian League now. Do we know where he landed?
No.
Let's check.
I don't know where Davis Webb is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. How much money did Davis Webb end up making in his NFL career?
He's with the Bills now.
Oh, no. The Bills backup is Trubisky.
Maybe
so he's the third string.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. He's making some
Bills
cash.
Bills got some depth at the quarterback position. So there you go. Bills have some absolute depth at the quarterback position going forward for them. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time. Oh, I have breaking news from Michael Gross. No hot corner today. So Hot Corner not coming up at 4 o'clock. We will be here with you. And then if you're looking for Jake and Gross, they are not going to be here. So they will be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the Tuesday edition of the Hot Corner. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to talk about the New York Jets and how they went across the pond to face the Falcons and didn't look like a football team. The people over in Europe don't know what football is, and the Jets didn't show them what it looked like. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour at WNYO 88.9. The Laker Radio Network. And we're back. WNYO Sports Hour on a Monday. Brandon Ladd, Aaron Valentino, Kyle Spisak here with you for live from WNYO Studios. From the, I would like to propose, the Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd WNYO Studios. Since everybody else is just getting things named after them.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen Lanigan Hall, it's now the Johnson and Ladd Learning
Center.
Yeah,
it's now the Johnson and Ladd Learning Center. Mr. Lanigan is his
poor
name.
Poor Mr. Lanigan.
Poor Mr. Lanigan. His name rights were stripped from him. Do we know what we're calling Hewitt?
No, we never got an answer on that. They're going to keep that name for a bit. I don't know if it's a hall or a union or what they're going to call it.
Not only are they going to change it from Hewitt, but are they going to change it from, like, a union or a hall.
I heard they were putting communications in there.
Yes, the $67 million renovation to Hewitt Union will become a state-of-the-art broadcasting facility. Actually, Kyle, what year are you?
I am a sophomore.
Oh, so you'll take advantage
of it. Yeah, you'll take advantage of it by the time you get to your senior year. So that's very exciting for you. We'll miss out.
Us 86-year-olds.
Kind of jealous. Kind of like... One of the things that I found really interesting about, like, when this was posted, like, you know, maybe it's just because I'm a horrible human being, but when I found out about the renovations, I was a little upset. Like, why couldn't that have been done a while ago?
Yeah, why couldn't we have gotten
why couldn't we have done it that? Yeah. But everybody else our age is like, this is so great for the school. I'm so excited for the future here at SUNY Oswego. It's so bright. The program's so great, and it's only going to get better. And I was just kind of like, what? I wanted the state-of-the-art broadcasting facility.
And it's so unlike you and me to be bitter and take things out of context.
I don't know about that, but still. I was very happy to see that people were really happy about it. I was not. It'll look cool. Maybe when I'm famous in a couple years, I'll be able to come back and look at it. But you know, right now, I'm still here, still just sports director of WNYO, trying to figure it all out as the week week by week, month by month, day by day. That wasn't in order.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. No. No. It was not in order.
It was like I said that.
Yeah. No. It did. It sounded like you said that. All right. Let's get to New York Jets. We you know the theme for New York football this year is keeping momentum. In every New York team with the Bills, it's about, you know, now keeping momentum. You beat the standard. You beat the team that you needed to beat. You beat the team that is expected to go to the AFC Championship this year. It's about keeping momentum for the rest of the season for them. We talked about last week with the Giants, the Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley games. It's about keeping momentum for those two players, carrying it in week to week, and maybe you can win some football games. That changes a little bit now that they're both going to be out for the next 3 weeks. But, you know, I rest my case. With the Jets, it's all about keeping momentum. Can you play the way you did the last time you were out against the Titans? And in the first half of that game, at 9:30 in the morning, which, by the way, NFL, London, what are we doing? 9:30 in the morning, 6:30 a.m. on the West Coast. What are we doing? Like, that game should have kicked off at 6:30 London time and 12:30 Eastern time. What are we wrong with doing that, with 9:30 games?
They like showcasing it for some reason. I guess they think it's the only way that the Falcons and the Jaguars will get airtime this year. The Jets, the Dolphins. They bring over some great teams. But
no, and they bring over the worst teams. Like,
yeah, London can't God be happy
forbid,
about
yeah,
that.
God forbid Tom Brady goes over to London and gets his sleep cycle messed up for a week. I mean, what? Come on now.
No, it's like the playoff teams. They don't want to make the playoff teams bad.
No. And they're like, all right, we should get, like, you know, one premier puck. We'll give you Matt Ryan. Ooh. And it's pathetic. Pathetic on the NFL's part. I think they should can the whole London thing in general. It's not a global game. Just accept it. Right? Kyle, agree?
Yeah, football's an American thing.
Yeah, it's not a global
game. Remember when it was outlandish and they were like, oh, we could expand 5 teams to London?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like talking about, like, add an expansion team. Like, what? Do you know what that would do to, like...
Exactly. What happens when Arsenal and an NFL team play on the same night? Yeah. No one's going to be there.
Why don't we put teams in Canada first?
Yeah, it's not a global game. No. NFL, realize what you have. You have the greatest product in American sports. And that's it. That's what you have. You can't grow it.
It's not
further
fun.
Than that.
It's
not fun for us. It's not fun for the players. It's not fun for the coaches. I don't even think... How much money could they have possibly made?
I think they're losing money. I don't see any way that they're making money.
I don't see any way that they could have possibly made money off of Jets Falcons. I don't understand it.
Somebody must have given somebody a lot of money.
Yeah,
because it just keeps happening.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But let's talk about the actual game over at Wembley Stadium. The Jets, I mean, in the first half, you know, woke up, they were down 20-3. And it kind of, you know, looked at Twitter, looking at some of the highlights. It seemed like they just played like the New York Jets have been playing for the last year and a half. They didn't look like a football team.
They did not. And it keeps falling on Wilson because he had another struggle of a game. And it's the people around him as well. And it's especially his offensive line. He was only sacked twice this week. But still, he was uncomfortable. 17.7 QBR, 1 interception, 0 touchdowns, 192 yards. If you look at his first 5 games of his career, 17.7 QBR, 44.3, 16.2, 7.0, and 36.2. He might easily be on track for one of the worst QBRs for a 16-game season.
Oh, my God. His QBR in the Tennessee game was only 44.3.
So his best game, only a 44.3.
Yeah, that's... Wow. And that was supposed to be, like, a coming-out party for him.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle, it's just... It's an interesting situation. It kind of seems like they're forcing the ball to Corey Davis, which is fine to a certain extent. But, you know, this offseason, all we heard about was Elijah Moore, Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore is going to win Rookie of the Year. Elijah Moore is arguably the number one receiver on the team. Elijah Moore is the most athletic player we've seen on the Jets in a long time. And they're not getting him the ball. Like, there's not plays designed for him to get the ball and have him make plays. It's a similar situation to Kadarius Toney, only it seems like Jason Garrett's kind of figured it out. When is LaFleur going to be able to figure this out?
You see, that's the problem that's been with the Jets for a while. Their play call's awful. Has been like the last 4 or 5 years. The Jets never have a very good play call. And with Zach Wilson, the thing is, I feel bad for him because I feel like he does have the potential to break through. But when you're drafted to the New York Jets, that puts you in an awfully tough situation. Like last night, he only had 2 sacks, but those 2 sacks were for 26 yards.
Yeah, that's huge losses.
Those are big losses for 2 sacks only. And the Jets, what, they have 18 carries and they only got 64 yards on them? that's putting a lot of pressure on a kid from BYU.
Yeah, a kid with BYU with great mobile ability and a cannon of an arm, but still, just a kid from BYU, just a Mormon from BYU who seems like a fish out of water recently. And, I think that's the thing. Mike LaFleur has called a great game against the Titans. I really thought every single play he called was pretty solid for the most part. And they're just not putting it together and keeping momentum week to week. Like, you know, certain things can work. I just don't understand why they're not doing them.
Yeah, and this was one of the rare games where their defense took them right out of it at the beginning because they had no answer for Kyle Pitts or Cordell.
Yeah,
Patterson.
In the beginning they had no, but in the second half, they did. I mean, Jets defense is playing great, and the offense, you know, capitalized on some things and couldn't, you know, fully capitalize on what the defense was giving them. In the end, that's why they lost the game.
Well, it seems like
you got to score points.
You do. It seems like it was the Carolina game all over again.
You got to get yards and score points. That's how you win football games. That's like when you're teaching someone about the NFL, someone who's never heard about the NFL, you teach them, okay, the object of the game is to score more touchdowns than the other team.
I think the Jets forget
and,
it sometimes.
And like the Jets don't understand that. they don't understand the core rules of the game. You have to look like a football team in order to be able to win games.
And you know what's even more scary for your team? We talked about the Stephon Diggs rule last year. Do all you can to not have Stephon Diggs beat you. I think we're entering the Corey Davis rule era because we see against the Titans, best success that the Jets have had all year, it was Corey Davis, and it was getting the run game going. Teams, if they shut down Corey Davis, I'm not sure if Wilson has any other weapons.
Get the ball to Elijah Moore.
I guess so.
You have two young receivers on the team who have incredible speed and explosive playmaking abilities, and we're not getting them the ball. What are we doing? Get Denzel Mims and Elijah Moore the ball in their hands. I mean, my goodness. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
They'll have the bye week to think about.
You know what? You know what Brittany texted me?
What?
At 11:30 in the morning? She's like, the Jets confuse me so much, and yet they shouldn't. That's the perfect way to describe them.
No, you get your expectations up, and then it's the same old, same old.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for Picks of the Week, the Monday edition, plus a little bit of an update on the MLB playoffs. Then we'll wrap up the show. No Hot Corner today. And that'll do it for today's edition of Sports Hour. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour right here on the Laker Radio Network.
The Laker Radio Network.
That is loud. Welcome to back to Sports Hour, first off, but second off, back to Picks of the Week, 18-17, Aaron currently. I'm Aaron Valentino, joined alongside Brandon Ladd and Kyle Spezak. It's time for Picks of the Week. Once again, I currently lead 18-17. I've made a little bit of a comeback, and now I have taken over the lead. I had the lead last week as well. We got Ravens-Colts tonight, Ladd. Who do we got?
There's no decision to this. It's the Ravens.
Yeah, I know. I think we're both picking the Ravens here. The Colts look bad. Who is it? Carson Wentz starting?
I think so. Maybe he's injured.
I don't know.
I have no clue.
Everybody told me he wasn't going to start, and then he did, and then he didn't play well because he was hurt, obviously. Kyle, who are we taking in this one?
Oh, Baltimore. Colts don't stand a chance.
Yeah, Lamar is going to kind of run all over. Is this the second Monday night game of the year for the Ravens?
Yes, it is.
Yes, right? Yep. Raiders.
That Raiders game was?
Yeah, Raiders was Monday night.
When did they play the Chiefs? On Sunday Night Football? Or was that like just a random
4:30
game?
I think it was Sunday Night Football. I think it was Sunday Night Football for sure. But yeah, that'll do it. Picks of the Week, 18-17. Before we get into, you know, a little bit of a fantasy here, and I will fade this music out now. Before we get into a little bit of a fantasy discussion, I do want to give an update on the MLB playoff race. For you, no Hot Corner today, by the way. Jake and Gross are not coming in. Still 3-0 Braves. Bottom of the seventh inning. It's been an hour, and they've played one inning. Nope, that's a lie. Two. They've played two innings in 1 hour. It's 3-0 Braves. They're looking to take a 2-1 lead in the series. Next game, because of the Astros-White Sox game getting rained out, next game doesn't start till 7:07. Red Sox looking to move on to the ALCS. It'll be, what is this guy's name? Load. It'll be Eduardo Rodriguez versus Colin McHugh, former Met legend tonight.
Yeah. Some good ERAs on the table.
Oh, yeah. 10.80 for Rodriguez and 16.2 for Colin McHugh. So yeah, Braves lead 3-0. Rays Red Sox 7:07. Giants Dodgers 9:37. That is your MLB playoff look. Brandon, there was a lot of controversy this weekend.
As there always is.
Well, with you, there's always controversy. There was a lot of controversy this weekend. Now, Kyle, I want you to give your honest opinion when you hear this trade. Lad's tanking.
Give him the rules. Give him the rules of the league.
So
though.
The league is a two-person keeper. Okay. So at the end of the year, you decide which two players you're going to keep. Now, let's say you drafted DK Metcalf and you have decided that next year you would like to keep him on your team.
All right.
Let's say you drafted DK Metcalf in the fifth round and you say, okay, I'm going to keep DK Metcalf. Therefore, you forfeit your fourth round pick. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. You give up the pick before the player that you drafted.
So you can't keep a one.
Yes. Yeah. So you can't keep a one, which is, I think, ridiculous. I think I should be able to keep Derrick Henry, but apparently I'm not allowed to. I have to give him up. So Ladd has decided that it is now time to tank the season. He's, what, 1-3? Going to be 1-4? Going to be 1-4. He's decided that he's tanking the season. He decides to put Patrick Mahomes on the trade block. Puts him on the trade block. I don't look at my phone for an hour, and I come back, 15 text messages. And Jake absolutely, I think Jake called me
livid,
livid. And I was pretty mad too. He gave up Patrick Mahomes, ready for this, for Alex Collins, Kadarius Toney, and a 2022 first round pick.
Yeah, it's tank season right there.
No.
That's full tank season.
No.
But did he get? How bad of a trade is this for him?
I mean, in the sense of, like, if you're trying to go forward in the season, horrible. Yes. Horrible trade.
But
if you're preparing for next season, very smart
but
trade.
But lad, Patrick Mahomes is the most valuable player in fantasy. You could have still tried to win this season and gotten, like, a good receiver and a good running back and the first round pick.
Well, if I played Kadarius Toney, he would have gotten like 79 points. So
okay, but going forward, I don't know if Kadarius Toney is going to exactly be putting 20 points up every single week.
That's fair. And now we have another one of these trades for me this week. Gross is...
Hold on. But you also traded Ryan Tannehill. You also traded Stephon Diggs for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep Diggs next year.
Dude!
What?
You're just giving out players like no tomorrow.
Well, maybe I don't want to keep anybody.
What's the trade you've been offered?
So I've been offered, I have Jamar Chase. It's been a pretty good experience. I can trade him away for Rondale Moore in a 2022 fifth rounder.
For who? For who's offering you this?
Gross.
Yeah, Gross is trying to get in on the action, yeah. Jamar Chase is going to be a hot commodity. I'm telling you that right
now. I think I can get a three for him. That's so honestly my opinion on
it. That sixth, I need to make a trade too. I've now lost two straight. Gross gets the win last night in game of the week, which actually I have to make a press conference today. I need a third receiver. This third receiver has very quickly become a problem. Kenny Galladay is going to be injured. Chenault's no longer reliable. Kirk's no longer reliable. And Crowder definitely isn't reliable. I don't really know what he is yet, but he's definitely not reliable on the New York Jets. So I need a third receiver. And I've been asking around. I don't know. What is your price? How high is your price for Jamar Chase? Do you want your sixth round pick back?
Well, my counter, which I guess I'm learning, if you want other people to offer you things, don't rifle a counter to someone right away. But my counter is going to be Rondale Moore and a third rounder for Jamar Chase.
So third round pick.
Yes, and a solid young player.
So you're six. So you're six that I have. You don't want that back?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I need a third receiver, a guy that I can put in there.
Jake's desperate, though. Like, every single day I look and he's offering me four first round picks.
What?
It just seems like he's just desperate to make a trade happen with me.
Yeah. Well, I got to be making some phone calls this week about a couple of receivers around the league. I'm not giving up a third round pick for Jamar Chase, but I need a third string wide receiver is what I need. That's going to do it. There's the song. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Hour. We'll be back tomorrow. No, we won't, actually. Now that I think about it, Sports Hour's canceled tomorrow. I'll be at CNY. You'll be handling some sports for me because I'm at CNY. So we'll be back Wednesday. And Oswego Men's Hockey starts this week. Pre-game show, countdown to face-off, 6 p.m. And then at 7, puck drop in the Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena for the first exhibition game of the year. I want to thank Kyle Spezak for joining the show. For Brandon Ladd, I'm Aaron Valentino, and have a great rest of your day. We'll see you Wednesday, everyone.